Welcome to Cerro Talk Tech Chat number 55 for March 18, 2010. This is Michael Loff. Tonight's topic, let's go to San Diego. Our special guest tonight is Lena Hinkle, who will tell us about trolleys and buses and shopping, restaurants, some really cool attractions, things to do for those of you who have some extra time while in San Diego. Few quick reminders, we do want to invite you to drop by our booth number 820 and check out our latest two innovations. The first being the AE Hotspot. That, of course, is an accessible event. It is a piece of hardware that allows you to host events in a large facility or corporation or school or governmental entity. Maybe you don't want them available to the public like we do with this tech chat. It's a great technology. Come by and check it out. Also, check out our updated RIM, Remote Incident Manager 2.1, with some cool new features. In addition to the already good stuff of the ability to remotely control, speak with, train, and repair computers, regardless of what access technologies they are using, or if it is the computer of a sighted person and has absolutely no access technology. You still get the great speech of system access to get in there and resolve the issues, and the person doesn't even know. It's a blind person on the other end fixing the problem. So it's all good. Come by and check it out. Finally, make sure for Cerro Talk coverage of CSUN 2010 that you bookmark CerroTalk.com. There's also a feed to our RSS, so if you want to have audio delivered to your favorite podcatcher, be that Juice, Klango, Webby, or whatever you may use, we also have a direct link for iTunes. So if you like to get your podcasts via iTunes, you have an iPhone, iPod Shuffle, or some other cool device, you can listen to the latest Cerro Talk podcasts and special CSUN interviews via that feed. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Lena Hinkle, who is going to tell us about some really cool things to see or touch and taste and experience when in San Diego.
What I'd like to do first, Michael, is just describe it a little bit. It doesn't seem fair that sighted people should fly in and be able to see downtown and the water and everything as they're flying over, and blind people not have a sense of where they are. So I'd like to start and give you a sense of where you'll be, because our airport is in the downtown area. It's right on the harbor. And you will feel a very steep descent, but don't be scared. We've got one of the best safety records in the world. But the airport is a little bit south of downtown. The hotel, the Manchester, is also on the water, and it's about 2 miles from the airport. The downtown area then will be east of the hotel. Old Town will be north of the airport, and if you're lost, just try to smell the water, because the water will always be your west edge. When you come into the airport, you have a choice of transportation to get to the hotel. Bus route number 992 stops at each of the terminals, and our airport personnel are very friendly. They know about transit. They're not so good at giving directions, but they're very good at escorting. And the bus will cost you, airport to downtown, $2.25, unless you get a day pass, which will let you go everywhere, and then it's $5. The buses and trolleys require exact change. The taxi ride from the airport will be about $10, not because it's far, but the taxi drivers that work at the airport have a little more, shall we say, flexibility about their fares, and taxi fares have gone up a lot because we do pay higher gas prices than a lot of other places in the United States. The hotel is on One Marketplace. I want to talk just a little bit about the streets that will be around the hotel. I would encourage everybody to plan on walking as much as you're comfortable, because there are so many things just within a block, 2 blocks, even 8 blocks. I can't say that the sidewalks are good, because I'd be lying to you, but there are sidewalks, and most of the streets will have lights for crossing, so the traffic patterns will be pretty well defined. Just remember, Californians can't drive much better than blind people, so keep that in mind as you're crossing. But the hotel, you'll have the water to your west and Seaport Village, which is great fun for shopping and eating, listening to music, just walking around. Then if you go east, you'll be on Market Street, and the named streets in downtown San Diego will go east and west, and Market Street takes the place of H if they were going alphabetical. And the streets that you will probably most care about, because all the neat stuff is on them, will be Market, G, F, E, Broadway, which takes the place of D, C, and B. Broadway is a primary street for buses, and C Street is a primary street for the trolleys. The numbered streets go north and south, but there are, of course, a few exceptions between the water and First Avenue, so you will have some named streets thrown in. But often what you'll be doing is walking east, for example, if you want to go eat, or go to the gas lamp, or go to a club, go hear some music. Or if you cross to the west, you can go to Seaport Village. You can walk right along the harbor for a number of blocks. And that's a nice walk. And the sidewalk there is pretty good most of the time. It's a nice, long, uninterrupted stretch. Those of you who like your morning walk for exercise, it's a beautiful place to walk. Let's talk about public transportation, because you're going to want to spend your money on tech, not on taxis. Well, that's what I want to spend my money on. Most economical way to travel is to either get day passes for $5 or a three pass for $12. We do not have, like other cities, transfers. So every time you get on a bus or a trolley, you're going to be handing over dollars. The pay machines on the buses are accessible. The ones at the trolley stops, which are kind of like ATM machines, are not particularly accessible. But there are frequently people around who are willing to help. And if you're on the trolley, you can always ask the driver to get security to help with the machines. You do not want a ticket. And the inspectors are pretty understanding. They know the difficulty some of us have.
Do you know the hours?
The trolley starts running in the morning. It's either 4 something or 5. It's definitely running by 5. And it runs some places till midnight. The buses, I think the buses that you folks will probably use most are the Route 7, which goes north to Balboa Park and the zoo and can connect to most things. And the 30, which goes also north along the water, which connects to the beaches and SeaWorld and a couple of my favorite things, which we'll talk about later. The 7 starts running in the morning at 5 something, and the last one is at 11 something. And the 30 I forgot to check, so I will check on the 30 and get back to you.
Okay, so those of us with flights at 6 in the morning probably want to grab a cab. How is the yellow cab or the taxi service there? How much time should we allocate? Are they good? Are they punctual if you set
in
times?
In that area, they'll be good. Sometimes you won't have to do more than just go outside your hotel.
And hopefully the hotel has good concierge service.
They do. I have been to conferences there, and you'll get real good help from the staff. But at 6 in the morning, you'll already have trolleys and buses, Michael, and you'll already have your 992 from the airport. So it's a 15-minute bus ride from the airport to the hotel.
Do you know how often they run?
And they're every 15 minutes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, the airport bus is one of our more frequently running buses. So is our Route 7. But sometimes it's just a matter of time and carrying, and then a taxi will serve better. And there is a taxi stand at the airport also. What I suggest to everyone, whether they're in San Diego or LA, is to, before you get in, tell the driver where you want to go and have them give you an approximate fare.
Exactly.
That helps some of them to be a little more focused, shall we say.
Conveniently rounds up to 20 or something. Oh, you're from out of town? You're dressed nice?
I like that luggage. A couple other things I want to say about transportation. I don't want to beat the horse to death. Those of you who are using paratransit in your home district, that probably will not be an option here. Number one, there isn't enough time to get certified. And number two, all of our buses and trolleys are wheelchair accessible. And even those who are blind and use wheelchairs can handle them with grace. So it isn't likely that you will even have to be concerned about that. Even our ferry is wheelchair accessible.
SanDiegoRestaurants.com here, just so you know what I'm showing to the masses.
Yes, that has a lot of... We recently had a survey, and those of us who live here voted on our favorites, the ones we liked best for atmosphere and service and food. What's great about the hotel is not only do you have several restaurants without leaving the hotel, if you cross the street and go into Seaport Village, you've got good coffee, you've got wonderful Greek Island Cafe, you've got your typical burgers, seafood. And then if you walk, it'll be about 8 blocks over to 4th and 5th Avenues. You literally will have restaurant after restaurant with a few bars and clubs thrown in, an occasional theater and a shop. There's every kind of food you can imagine, Italian, Mexican, American, Chinese.
Now, I saw they had a category called Californian. What is California?
Do I have to be diplomatic?
Not really.
Okay, good. It's overpriced American with lots of green things on your plate. Now, if I were a restaurateur, what I would say is it's beautifully presented dishes of the freshest variety, locally grown.
Yeah, I like those locally grown dishes.
We have a lot of agriculture here. In fact, we have farmers markets every day of the week but Monday. Yeah, North County, up by Escondido, where Brad is, that whole inland area, marvelous agriculture. Strawberries are already ready. I'm laughing, but we really do grow a lot of food here. One of my favorite restaurants in the downtown is called Masala. It's Indian from the continent of India, and those who are vegetarian will have fabulous choices. I recommend it, though, for everybody because the service is impeccable. The staff delights in acquainting us with Indian food, and there's just nothing I can say about it that isn't absolutely wonderful. There's also very fine Italian, and you will know it by the smell. The Gas Lamp Quarter is on 4th and 5th Avenue between Market and basically Broadway. And that's an area you'll probably want to visit. There will be lots of people walking. There's lots of nightlife. Many of the bars will have music. Most of them don't have a cover charge. There are a couple that do, but it tends to be in the $5 to $10 range unless it's somebody very famous. And your nose is really a good guide. If the restaurants don't draw you in because of the food smell, then just pass them by. There's too many choices to settle for second best. I also recommend avoiding the chains in the downtown area because they tend to be not necessarily the best of what the chains have to offer. If you really enjoy Mexican food like you get in Oaxaca, it's worth taking the Route 11 bus to 30th and Adams. It's a 30-minute bus ride, and the 11 runs late. Name of the restaurant is Cantina Mayaquel. The chef has studied in Mexico. It's the finest mole you will find in California. Their menu is limited, but everything is fresh that day. The salsas are made by hand, and it's a truly wonderful experience without going too far south of the border. I always ask for Braille because I like them to learn what it is, but very few restaurants here have those, and I've even offered to Braille menus for free, and to date, they haven't seen the need. So hopefully having CSUN here will change that thinking, and I'm not warning them. I'm not saying a word. The waiters will read them to you happily, and the waitresses.
So were you wanting to talk about going to Tijuana?
A couple things I do want to say about going to Tijuana, and one of them is do not forget your passport if you want back into the country. If you want an extended vacation, then hey, leave it in the hotel safe. When going across the border, go with a group and try to at least have one person who speaks a little bit of Spanish. Tijuana hasn't been getting very good press lately, and there are some problems, but then what big city doesn't have problems? For anyone who speaks Spanish and who enjoys the Mexican culture, it's really a fun place to go because the prices are so reasonable. People are generally friendly. It is a little bit different culture, so it's a good idea to keep wallets and passports close to your person to help those who might be tempted by their poverty. And if you're going to bring things across the border, it's a good idea to have a backpack and to check with customs first so that you don't have headaches. There are taxis. The trolley goes to the border, and then you can pick up a taxi. It is possible to walk across the border. It's not particularly easy anymore, so I recommend taking a taxi because your dollars will go far. You get a lot of pesos for the dollar, and they're very happy to have dollars, so you don't even need to think about pesos when you're over there. I think he's giving you less than desirable information, you'll give him his tip in pesos. Bribery is not as taboo in Mexico as it is over here, and bartering is the thing in many shops. So if you notice that people around you are doing it, then don't hesitate to be a real shopper. And if I were coming to San Diego and I only had time to do two fun things, the two things I would do, I would go to Sunny Jim's Cave, and Michael has that link, Cave Store.
Cavestore.com. Okay, we're there.
Yes. It's worth the bus ride. It will take about 45 minutes on Route 30. And you will have a little bit of a walk, probably about 6 blocks to get there, but they're easy walking blocks. There are two ways to get into the cave. One is through the store, and you will be going down 100 and some steps. Now, what's really neat is that you can feel the changes that have been made over millions of years. You'll feel the sandstone and what the ocean did and the clay and the rock. It's a wonderful experience, and when you get to the bottom of the steps, the sound is incredible. I don't recommend it for people with claustrophobia because the tunnel can be a challenge for them. There are handrails on both sides so that even somebody who has mild difficulty walking would probably be able to handle it just by taking a break every few steps.
So when you say cave, is this like the stalactites and stalagmites and all that stuff?
The ocean basically rounded out a huge bowl in the rock, and it's not a smooth bowl, it's a very jagged bowl. But no, we don't have the stalactites and tites because it doesn't get that cold. So you will have ocean and rock and then the tunnel to take you back up to land. It's a really incredible experience for sighted as well as blind. It's totally kid friendly, and it only costs $3 or $4, and you can spend as much time as you want. It's very safe once you get down in because there's a viewing platform and it has railing all around it, so you don't have to worry about falling into the ocean or losing one of your kids. Yes.
Want to make sure we have time. What is the second?
The USS Midway. Well, it was a carrier, but now it's a carrier that's been made into a museum, and it has plenty of planes that can be touched, again, places to eat. But you can go through the whole thing and see how our sailors lived. It's very fascinating. Probably my favorite thing, especially for boys, would be the flight simulator, where even a blind person can fly a jet.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Oh, it is. It's so much fun. Let's talk about the zoo, because our zoo is somewhat unique in that there are many sculptures, real-life sculptures of the animals, many plants that can be touched, and some unique items in the gift shops like African drums that are the real thing. The zoo is a wonderful place to walk. It is on the east side of Balboa Park. Balboa Park is a huge park in the city with lots of museums. Route 7 will take you there. The zoo costs $35, but before you faint, a person who is blind pays the entrance fee, and then if they have a sighted companion, they go to guest relations and ask for an escort pass, which is free to the escort who will be describing.
So essentially I think half price, two for one.
Yes. If you are blind and take a sighted person, or if you're in a wheelchair or have walking difficulty, if you have a disability that requires assistance, also if you call ahead of time and you're going by yourself, you can arrange to have a guest services person. I often go to the zoo by myself just because it's such a nice place to walk. And what I've found is that there's enough good sound cues that a person who's blind really can get around without difficulty. The petting zoo, in many places, they have had sculptors come in and make life-size replicas of the animals that the sighted people are looking at. And I think that is just a nice touch for us who can't see. The tours will give you lots of information about the different animals and the habitats. There are also small areas, like one of them is Tiger River. When you are walking in Tiger River, you feel like you're in a rainforest. So there are many things at the zoo that those of us who are blind can enjoy just as well as our sighted friends and family. The kids don't have to pay as much as we grown-ups. And then there are passes, depending on how many are in your family. sometimes it's better just to buy a pass.
Also things here with the Balboa Park, right? Looks like museums, performing arts, gardens. What else can we do there?
The Japanese Friendship Garden is very peaceful. You can touch many of the statues. There's the Rose Garden, which smells good even now. There is the Natural History Museum, which is somewhat friendly. And the aviation, the car, there are several museums. And there's always a couple of free museums on Tuesday. So if anybody's here on Tuesday who enjoys museums, just check out that website. It'll tell you which museums are free for that day. Balboa Park is also a nice place just to walk. There are concerts in the evenings sometimes. There's an organ concert free on Sunday afternoon. Anybody who's still here on Saturday, there's always plenty of things going on in the park and lots of things for the children. I think another place that's fun to go is Old Town, and it's north of San Diego, but it's only about a 15-minute trolley ride. It's an easy place to walk around. There's glass blowing, which you can experience. If the eating places smell good, they're worth eating in. If they don't, well, pass them by, because there are a couple that we don't even need to think about. If anybody is into ghosts, there is a haunted house in Old Town, which is also a historical house that you can go through, and there's many touchable things. The shopkeepers are friendly, and so there's a lot that can be touched. There's lots of jewelry, there's artisans doing their crafts right there on the spot, and it's about a 4x4 block area that's real accessible. So anybody with some extra time who just wants to get out of downtown, that's one of the places I recommend. And of course, the other thing I recommend are the beaches. We don't have wonderful water in terms of cleanliness, but we do have nice beaches where you can just walk for miles without interruption. So anybody who likes beaches, just hop on Route 30. It'll take you through Mission Beach, Pacific Beach, and on out to La Jolla. And the bus drivers are real good about telling you where you can get off. And just walk a block west and you'll find a beach. And you can walk. And one of the nice things about San Diego is you don't have to go far in any direction, no matter where you are, to find eats and drinks. I guess we just do a lot of eating and drinking here. If anybody gets desperate for books or to use a computer, our public library, which would be about a 12-block walk from the hotel, has what is called the I Can Center, which basically means disabled services. There is an accessible computer, a CCTV.
The Harbor Cruises Coronado Ferry, that's one thing that you had mentioned.
The ferry runs from early in the morning till night, but from 9 in the morning till 10 at night, it's easy to remember the schedule because it leaves San Diego at 9 o'clock and it comes back from Coronado on the half hour. So it's 9 and 10 and or coming back 9:30, 10:30. So it leaves on the hour and comes back on the half hour. It's a 15-minute ferry ride. It's always very nice out in the water. And when you get to Coronado, there's ferry landing, which again, lots of shops, places to eat, benches to sit down and relax. Nice, uninterrupted walking areas. The harbor excursions, and I must tell you that all of this is about 2 blocks north of your hotel. So when you go out of the hotel, walk west, cross the street, which will be harbor, and turn to your right and walk about 2 blocks, and you'll hear sounds that will give you a clue for buying the tickets. And again, people are friendly here. We're used to giving directions to out-of-towners. You can get tickets for the ferry and harbor excursion all right by a cafe, which you will smell. It's got a lot of fried food. The harbor excursions are fun for everybody because in addition to what your sighted friends can see, there's always plenty of narration, so you won't be left out if you can't see. And this is a beautiful time of year to be out on the water. It'll be kind of crisp, and the water is gentle. I do recommend bringing a sweater and a windbreaker because we tend to have about 3 different kinds of weather every day. We'll have our cool, sometimes foggy mornings, then the warm, delightful midday, then it'll start to cool down, and then if you're out at night, you'll want that extra little something.
I want to ask you about one of the things you mentioned here was the Westfield Horton Shopping Plaza.
Whole top floor is places to eat and movie theaters. The very bottom is a theater where there are live productions. And then in between, you have lots of shops, a pharmacy, a Starbucks, several places to get coffee. There's a very good Chinese restaurant on the top level. I can't think of its name, but it's the only sit-down Chinese restaurant that's up there, in case anybody gets hungry for Chinese. Michael, I know you like Italian. You want to hit Fifth Avenue, or you may want to get on the trolley and go a five-minute trolley ride into Little Italy and just walk along the street and pick the Italian. There's one Italian restaurant after another. Follow your nose. They're all pretty good over there. Yeah, and I'm sure that we have places here that you have to explain the guide dog statutes to them, but it hasn't been much of a problem lately. It's a good idea to have your rabies vaccines up to date and make sure you always have your dog on leash. That is a law no matter what kind of dog it is. If you're outside, and be sure to pick up after your dog, because you too can pay a fine for not doing that. We believe in equality here.
Okay, what we're going to do is open up for questions.
It is a friendly city, and you'll find in the downtown area there will be lots of people walking. Parking is horrible, so it's actually an advantage to be used to walking and using public transportation.
Now, you said there were some issues with sometimes drivers announcing stops.
Trolley.
Oh, that's a trolley.
That is a trolley issue, yes. When you're on the trolley, if you go by a couple stops and they're not being announced, which they are supposed to be, what I recommend is pretend you're getting off the trolley, stand on the bottom step till the driver comes and talks to you, because it's not fun to miss the stop you want and have to transfer back and all that. And the trolley is terrible about compliance in that respect. The bus drivers are very good. And most bus drivers, when you get on the bus, they will ask you what stop you want and make themselves a note.
Okay, I have the first text question coming in. Hold on just a second here, Elena. I will read it. Question from Michael Killian. He wants to know about the quality of the Mexican restaurants in San Diego. Is it true Mexican, or is it like we have here in the Midwest, what they call Tex-Mex?
Most of it is Tex-Mex. The exceptions are the one I mentioned that's worth the bus ride, and in Old Town. I would zero in downtown on Italian, Indian, American, Greek. I can't really think of a Mexican restaurant downtown that meets my criteria for authenticity. Keep in mind that I am partial to the food in Oaxaca, Mexico City. So that's my bias.
Brad, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, taxi cab service. If you want a taxi cab service and you don't want to be put on hold, you can text your pickup address to 777-222. And if you don't want to do that and you want to talk to a dispatcher, you can call. It's in the 619-760 or 858 area codes. But San Diego's down there. Where you guys are going to be at
is 619.
619 area code. So you want to dial, you can dial the 444-4444. Plain and simple. All fours. Or you can text 777-222 and just text your pickup address and you'll get a confirmation and you'll be picked up by the nearest driver. You can also pay with a credit card or cash. And the second thing I wanted to tell you about was you were talking about an Old Town. The name of the haunted house, and I'm pretty sure everyone's seen it on the History Channel, is called the Whaley House. Halloween, they keep it open for 5 days. They keep it open till about 9 or 10. It's run by the Historical Society. It's a pretty cool place. I've been there several times. I've taken my daughter there. I agree with Lena. The more north you come or go, which is where I am, in Escondido, they seem to have more of the authentic. There's several authentic Mexican food places here. La Tapatia is one. There's another one called El Nepal's. There's Acapulco. But the more north you go, you're going to start leaving the Tex-Mex. If you want some fast food, you don't want no Del Taco or Taco Bell, you can hit Oscar's or Alberto's. There's a lot of those around. You can get the carne asada burritos or the California burritos, and they're like 2.5 pounds, and they're really, really good. And those are usually open 24 hours a day.
Economical, Second and Broadway, Baja Fresh, and it's about an 8-block walk from the hotel.
Rubio's is also economical.
Yeah, and that's over at 4th and E by Hort. I just want to tell you that Brad is in Escondido, which is 40 miles north, and Escondido is full of terrific restaurants. I like visiting my friends up there just so I can eat.
And in Little Italy, I think they're still open. It's Felipe's Pizza.
Yes, they're still open.
Yeah, they're excellent. I love them.
Yeah, me too. Felipe's
Pizza. I think it's the best there, I think.
I agree for pizza.
Just to mention for all the attendees, there's a lot of links here that were put together over at daisy.org. There's a complete HTML zipped, but it has web pages for all of the exhibitors, the different presenters. It breaks down events by each day, by each topic. A lot of stuff here, I think, like links, whatever it is here, 20 through 39. The rest of them are all Daisy files. They're specific restaurant menus for, I believe, the six different restaurants that are inside the Grand Hyatt Hotel. And I did read that there's free continental breakfast Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for all the guests. Free Wi-Fi, which I'm excited to know about. You don't get that everywhere anymore. And also a 15% discount if you show your name badge at any of the other restaurants.
Does anybody need to know about churches? Anybody staying over on Sunday? If anybody needs to locate a church, just email me.
Braille, Lena, Braille, L-E-N-A at samobile.net.
And just put church in the subject line, so I'll give you priority.
Are there any neighborhoods, any areas we might want to try to avoid?
I don't want you guys going south of Market unless you're in a group. And really, the good stuff is all Market and North, so that shouldn't be a temptation, because we probably will have some people who might want to find an establishment that caters to gay people. And the neighborhood would be Hillcrest, and it would be served by the Route 3 and the 120.
Okay, Ricky Inger wants me to pass along thanks to both you, Lena, and Brad for sharing this very useful info. And she also points out that to make sure you get your free Wi-Fi, to ask for the special code when you're checking into the hotel, because it is not available to all guests. So very good point.
Anytime.
It was a pleasure, and everybody have a great evening and a wonderful visit.
Well, we're going to put the wraps on Tech Chat 55. Before we do, we invite you to utilize these links 20 through 39. Number 20 is the entire CSUN conference information in HTML format, all zipped up into one file. You got all of the exhibitors, the speakers and presenters, the six restaurant menus for the restaurants in the hotel. Link number 21 takes you directly to the Manchester Grand Hyatt. If you need to check out the hotel website for any information, links 22 through 39 are Daisy files with different information. Each restaurant menu, each day's sessions, pre-conference, and also things broken down by subject, by room. So a lot of good stuff there. Please check that out. We hope you like this event. If you do, please contact us, resources@serotalk.com, or call the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. And if you like what you hear, we plan to cover Dallas for those attending the NFB convention, and Phoenix for those attending the ACB convention. So drop by the Serotech booth, number 820, to check out RIM, Remote Incident Manager 2.1, and our new accessible event, Hot Spot. Cool stuff from Serotech. Check out the audio interviews I will have the privilege and honor to conduct at CSUN. And join us on March 29th for a Best of CSUN podcast. And back here in 2 weeks for the next Tech Chat number 56. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.